Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Stars Go Dim is the moniker for American pop artist and songwriter Chris Cleveland. The singer has garnered multiple international number ones and top five hits at pop and Christian radio, including the massive number one radio smash in the US, You Are Loved. Chris and his songs have been nominated and won multiple awards, including CMT, NSAI Nashville Songwriters Association International, Listener's Choice Award, ASCAP, and Billboard Songwriting Award winners, and Dove Award nominations. His songs have hundreds of millions of streams, and Chris has toured the world, written and played with many of the biggest artists in pop and Christian music. This includes Justin Bieber, John Mayer, The Goo Goo Dolls, Elton John, Billy Joel, Jason Derulo, The Fray, Natasha Bedingfield, The Roots, For the King and Country, Bethel Music, Mav City, and countless more. Ushering in a new retro sound, Chris continues to write for other artists, even as he readies Star Go Dim's next studio set, Roses, which arrives in 2025. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Stars Go Dim.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I am in basically Nashville, Tennessee in the United States. So we're kind of right in the middle of the country.
Where, how, what was inspiration for the stage name Stars Go Dim?
Oh, gosh. So I started this band with a group of my friends 18 years ago in 2007. And it was just, it wasn't meant to be a band. We were all in different bands and we wanted to get together and just write like pop songs and love songs. And so that's what we did. We released our first songs like as the internet began to release and like become a thing. So like YouTube, I think, came out in 2007 and all these other things. And so we didn't know like what this was going to be. We just thought it was going to be something that we did for fun. And so we just made up this name, Stars Go Dim. And I never thought in my wildest dreams that I'd be 40, you know, almost 20 years later, still doing this. Now the music has taken on different shapes and forms. And now, you know, almost 20 years later, I'm kind of the only one left. And so it's just me now kind of behind the name. But it just started off, we were a mainstream pop band, just writing songs for fun. And then it kind of took off with the internet. And it's been a wild ride ever since.
And how has the differentiation between being part of the band and now you being solo, what are the noticeable differences for you?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot of differences in different ways, right? So I think there's an economic piece to it. In this day and age, it's really hard to make a living as a band. You have to generate a lot of money to support, especially as you get older and you have families and things like that. It takes a lot of revenue to support multiple families. And so it makes it a little bit easier to do music as a living by myself. I think that's the most like tangible thing that's different. I think the other part is in any band, and this is probably true for every band that's ever existed, the ones that really last are great partnerships. And so they can spread responsibility and things like that across, you know, all of their members. But most of the time, there's one guy that does more stuff than everyone else. That's just how it happens. A lot of times it's the singer. Sometimes the singer just sings and there's like a business guy on the back of it that is actually kind of the wheels that keep the band going. And every combination is a little bit different. And so for me, being by myself, I have to be all of those things at this point. So sometimes I miss being able to spread out that responsibility a little bit, as well as the creativity. And so I kind of have to shoulder all of those things by myself. The benefit of that is I get to make records like I just made, which feel really authentically me. And so I'm able to show up and make the music that I want to make. But I also still collaborate with other artists, with other writers and producers and musicians and things quite a bit. So even though it's not a band, there's still a lot of that type of collaboration that happens, which is nice.
Okay, so now let's rewind. At what age, whether you were a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to channel this path? I know you said when the band first started, you thought it was just for fun and sort of a hobby. Let's dive into the sort of the pieces before and as it grew.
Yeah, well, I grew up, my family attended like church and things like that in the United States. And there's kind of this musical culture for people who grew up in church in America. And I think that's honestly a lot of the most soulful singers in the world, I think, grew up with kind of a church background. And so I had grandparents and aunts and uncles, and my mom led music in the church. And so I grew up very young, getting put on stage, singing with family members and that kind of stuff. And then started leading songs, you know, in church at a very young age. And so I had been doing that and started traveling around doing music. Like when I was 10 years old, I started traveling. And so I've been doing that for 30 years now, which is crazy. When Stars Go Dim happened, I had already been doing this for almost a decade, which is kind of crazy. But I was also in school. I was also in another band that I thought was the thing that I was doing, you know. And so we just weren't sure what Stars Go Dim was. Musically, I think it's just always been something that's been in my life and something that I've really enjoyed doing. I've never known life without music and without me kind of performing it in some way. I'd say probably around the time just before I started Stars Go Dim, so around the time of 18, 19 years old, I think it became something that was like, hey, I might actually want to do this. Like, this is cool. And then really my approach since then hasn't been much more than, hey, let's just take advantage of the opportunities that you know, present themselves. And so here I am 30 years into it and still making music, still able to do it somehow. I don't know how it all happens, but here we are doing it. And so it's been kind of a crazy, crazy life of music always being around and me kind of always just stepping into the next door that's open.
I love what you said, stepping into the next door. So is it a concentration for you of not really focusing on the doors that are closing, just saying, okay, where's the next door that's opening? Because I think a lot of people, when they're always focusing on the doors closing, it becomes a situation of the victim. Whereas if you look for the doors that are opening, you're empowering yourself.
Yeah, that's not just music. That's life, right?
Exactly.
I think no matter what we do, we're going to fail. If you're trying things and really putting yourself out there, you're going to fail. You're going to hit disappointment. You're going to be told no. Music just so happens to be a space where you fail a lot and you're told no a lot. It also happens to be a place where you have to be vulnerable for the music to be good. So it's a really interesting balance of bringing your vulnerable self, knowing you're going to fail or be disappointed in some ways. And so that's a tricky place to be. But I tell a lot of young people when they get into this, like, people who succeed in music are the people who don't quit. And being able to shift your perspective of like what we're talking about here, looking at the doors that open over the doors that close, I think is important. And I think that's kind of a life lesson for anyone to be able to look for opportunity. And, you know, I've heard interviews and podcasts from some of the most successful people in the world. And really, they say they learn the most out of their failures. And, right. And I think that's true. I think if we can shift our perspective into the positive over the negative, it's always helpful, no matter what we're doing.
Exactly. And I hate that term failure, because if a person is learning from that experience and growing and building, how can something be a failure if those are the results from it?
That's right. And I think even in music for me, there's these like tangible ways that we define success or failure, but really they're all subjective. I can look at my life and I can think of all the things that, oh, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I could have gotten this or something like that. And then I think about another artist who's maybe coming up or somebody who's been around that haven't had the success that I've had. And they could be looking at me saying, man, I wish I had what he has. And I wish I had that success. And I think perspective is a superpower in life in general, but in this profession specifically. Because if we can slow down life enough, if we can take an accurate accounting of kind of what's going on in life, we can see that failures are not failures, that they're the vehicle that takes us to the next opportunity. And so that's kind of how I've tried to approach life. Never let the missteps slow me down too much, but always be able to be agile and move on my feet a bit and take that perspective and appreciate what I do have and what I have accomplished and lean into that and try and find my worth and value of who I am as a person and how good my life is in other places, not how my songs do on charts or how many sales I've had or whatever that is, you know.
You know, generally people say missteps, they fall. So in my mind, I saw myself skipping, because if you're skipping when there's a misstep, you'll just jump over it.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think I was even thinking of like, you know, moving left or right.
Yeah.
You know, it may not be, it's one of the beautiful places of where I live in Nashville. People move here because it's a very musical city.
Yeah.
And you have dreams and you've got a plan and an idea of how your life goes. And one of the things I really love about being here and being in this community is we all have those things. But the beauty is seeing like when that change happens and you find your thing. And it may not be the thing that you thought it was going to be, but it's like your thing, you know. And I've seen that with so many artists and so many creatives. And it's really, really wonderful to see when that happens. And it may not be what you think, but that misstep or that change of direction or that skip can take you, you know, into something more beautiful than you even imagined.
I agree with you, but there's also this conversation around expectations and thinking of or seeing how things are going to happen. So just a quick story. One of my favorite artists is Kylie Minogue, and I was in London and I went to go see her concert. I'm very comfortable seeing concerts by myself. I bought two tickets. I bought one for the Wednesday, one for the Saturday. But when I bought the tickets in South Africa, I bought them from the internet on the web on O2 Arena, and I did not have an understanding of what that view looked like in real life. So when I got to the theater the Wednesday evening, I was like quite high up in the sky, and I saw there were random single seats open. So I thought to myself, cool, I'm by myself. I don't mind paying a little bit of extra money to go closer to the front. So the way I saw it happening is going to the ticket person, requesting the exchange, paying, and then moving on.
Right.
Then when I went to do that, they said, no, they don't do it. And it's sold out in any case. I was then having lunch somewhere and a lady came up to me and said, listen, we've got tickets for the show. Would you like to come? And I'm like, no, I've already got my ticket. And I was busy doing my Master Reiki course at the time. And my Master Reiki instructor's voice was screaming in my head saying, it'll happen, but not always the way you expect it to happen. So because I saw it happening at the ticket counter, when it was actually happening in front of my eyes, I didn't click. So I ran back to that lady. I said to her, okay, explain. She said, a friend of theirs got sick. I exchanged money for the ticket and I was four rows up from the front. So the whole long lesson around this whole situation is that, yes, be open-minded and not really have expectations of how things will happen, because it might happen in a completely different way and a person might completely miss that.
Right. And be prepared to take action when it presents itself. I think having some self-awareness in that, even though it took you a second to think about it, like you've obviously practiced that. That's been something that you've put in your life to think through those moments. And then you were able to act, right? And so I think that's a valuable lesson in life. In any rate, like, can you be present enough in the moment to see when opportunity is knocking right in front of your face? And that's really powerful.
So you referenced earlier that you write and collaborate with other artists. How do you write a song?
A lot of different ways. My phone is full of voice notes. You know, when I drive around in the car by myself, I don't really listen to music or anything like that. And a lot of times I'm just sitting there, like an idea will come and I'll sing it out. And then there might be 100 of them. I listen to them and, you know, two of them are good, you know. I'm in my studio in my house right now, and so I do a lot of writing in here as well and collaborate with other people. So sometimes artists will come here, or I'll go to another studio, and they'll have an idea of what they want, and I help them write that song. Sometimes musical pieces come to me. I mean, there's one piano part I feel like I've been playing for like 6 months now, and the song hasn't come yet, but I'm playing the music to it, and one day it will be a song, I'm sure. And so it really comes 1,000 different ways, and I try to be open kind of to all of them. There's a practice to that as well, just like anything. If you exercise that muscle, it gets better, just in terms of knowing how to write songs and things like that. And now the technology landscape is changing really rapidly as well in songs and songwriting and song making. And so trying to keep up with that and see kind of the even ethical pieces, like yes. When it comes to like artificial intelligence and things like that. And so I've been paying really close attention to some of those things. And so it's something here in Nashville, songwriting, this is probably like the songwriting hub of the world, I would say. More people write songs as a career here, where they get up and go to work in the morning and come home from work and their work was writing a song that day. You know, there's a whole industry here about it. And so it's a really beautiful kind of creative space to be in. And so we approach it a lot of different ways, but I like to do it with people. I like to do it collaboratively, but I've done more and more myself, which has kind of been fun as well.
Has that been difficult doing it more and more yourself?
It depends. I think there's moments when I start a song and I know, oh, I need so-and-so to help me finish this, or they would be great on this. And I just finished an album where I probably worked more, actually probably in both ways. It was really collaborative, but I also had more songs on it that I wrote 100% myself than I have on any record in a really, really long time. And so I kind of leaned into both of those spaces. And the beauty of doing it myself is that it feels like me, you know? And sometimes we can get in the practice of letting other people create our own art, especially here. And a lot of artists are like this. There's songwriters who are great songwriters, but a lot of artists just go along with what they're given. And it takes some maturity and some time doing this to really know who you are and what you want to say and how you want to present that. And so I think the older I've gotten, the better I've been able to do that, which lends itself to me writing more songs by myself.
Nashville has always been very much a songwriter's hub, but more focused in the country genre, if I'm correct in my understanding. What has attracted more people and more people to come there and create in all different genres? Has it just been a slow progression? Or were there any actual things that you are aware of that ignited that move to that area?
I think it's been a slow progression over time. It's for sure been country music, and it's still dominated by country music. It's become a big hub for like church music and things like that, but it's also becoming a place with a lot of indie artists, a lot of pop artists, you know, people kind of all over. I think it's probably a little twofold. One, it's just a creative community. And when you move here, you feel that it's different than any other place in the world. Even like Los Angeles and New York, they don't have the same creative community that we have. I think this is a one of a kind, probably in the world, where we have a huge industry that's songwriting and music. There's other big cities that have those pieces that are really wonderful. Every big city has them, you know. But Nashville, it might be the biggest industry in Nashville. Maybe medical might be a little bigger. So I think that's big. I also think there's been this influx of people just moving to Nashville. In America, people are kind of leaving some of those bigger cities. And so when somebody from a small town in Texas or Ohio or, you know, wherever, say, I want to move to a bigger city, rather than moving to New York or LA, a lot of them are coming here. And so you're seeing kind of an influx of people and creatives in that way too, because it's a place to live that feels a little bit more like home to them. It's not one of those huge cities, although it's kind of becoming that. So I think it's probably a mix of all of those factors.
You referenced your album earlier. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so I just released, gosh, I've lost track of how many records I've made, a lot over the years, but a record called Roses. Honestly, a lot of kind of what we're talking about is what the album talks about. It's very like 1970s soulful, funky record sonically. It's a really fun album to listen to. It will take you back and remind you of like bands and music that you've loved forever, which is really fun. But content-wise, it's really talking about like this practice of being able to slow down and see the goodness of life. And like, if you're a person of faith, like for me, like I believe that God moves in and through like everything, everywhere, all the time. Like it's literally the energy inside of an atom that holds all things together. And so when I think about that, if I'm practicing like being in tune with that, then I want to slow down and actually see it in motion. And so what a lot of us do, and this is really bad in America. I think Europeans actually do this a little bit better, and people outside of the States where they can be a little bit mindful of what's going on. But we're in a hurry. We've got to go, and we've got to do, and we've got to achieve. And so sometimes we miss, like your story, sometimes we miss the opportunity in front of our eyes because we've got something else going on and we're never fully present. So this record is very much about slowing down and finding the beauty in those small moments. And because that's really, I think, the most beautiful parts of life happen in these like seemingly insignificant, normal, everyday moments. And so a lot of the songs revolve around that and just my life in general. And so it's a record I'm really proud of.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for all the hard work you do.
Yeah.
I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, the thank yous, all those sorts of things. Unsure if you are or not aware, a massive uptick of physical around the world. 2 years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. Last year, also in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. And based on these exchanges, they monitored for some tax purposes. There needs to be high exchanges every day for a product to be in this basket. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are now back in the basket. And the research is showing it's the teenagers, it's the younger kids diving into this world, not necessarily the older, in inverted commas, nostalgic people. Then again, we also have these streaming platforms, these downloads that you referenced earlier. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
I think all the things that you've said, I think the biggest, I can't remember the word. Where people find new music, the biggest place they find new music now is TikTok. The Yes. biggest discovery tool for new music is TikTok right now. So that's interesting, right? So TikTok, YouTube Shorts, things like that, even Instagram, Facebook, still some. But TikTok, by and large, these little snippets of songs are what people are getting. And so that has changed how music is consumed. That's changed how music is made. I've kind of gone against that grain a bit. And I made something like you're talking about because I want to listen to a whole album.
Yes.
I won't listen to the single that comes out. I wait until the whole record comes out and I listen to all the songs at once. One of my favorite things to do is experience new things. And I think the easiest, most accessible way we can experience something new is listening to like a new album. It just does something for me internally. And so what I did was I made a record. And so I want you to listen to the whole thing. I want you to go, you know, from 1 to 11 in order and all those things. And I did CDs with their own packaging and booklet and all the stuff. And I did vinyls with beautiful packaging and like red vinyls. I mean, they're awesome. And so I was really intentional on all that because I've seen it too. I've never stopped selling CDs just because live, I think people have always wanted to be able to take home something that means something to them. And so I've always had that as an option. The sad part is I have to charge quite a bit for them because they're much more expensive to print now. So they cost me quite a bit more than they used to make. And so that cost, you know, obviously goes to the consumer as well. I've also, my last two albums, I've carried vinyl with me everywhere because there's people that want that as well.
Yeah.
And I honestly kind of prefer that. If I can take that, it's such a cool thing. Even if you don't listen to it, you basically got the poster you can throw on your wall. You know, you've got something that you've taken home that feels cool. I think there will always be a place for that. You know, I don't think that's going to go anywhere. I think we're going to see, you know, sales increase and decrease and things like that for people. But I think when you listen to something live, when you go see somebody play, and if there's a vinyl or a CD there, you'd be like, okay. Even my daughter, she's 11. We went and bought her an old CD player so she could get CDs, you know, and it feels nostalgic to her. It feels like feels like records did to us, you know? And so we've been buying her CDs, which is funny. I think that kind of thing will always be there. Technology will continue to change. TikTok will turn into something else. I think this AI surge in creating music and how that's done. Now anyone on their computer can make albums, and we're seeing that, and the quality is crazy good. And there's some ethical considerations in all of that, but that's going to change the way we listen to music. Am I listening to a computer, an AI bot, or am I listening to a human make music? I also think like AI is so perfect. Like if you've not taken any time, it's worth your time to just check out. But the songs, the quality's very good. The average consumer will not be able to tell between AI and a human. They won't. It's perfect. Like so much to the point where I actually think in the future we are going to see a resurgence in like live music and imperfect recordings. And so I think the next wave of bands that come out, I think there's going to be a wave where like bands getting together and jamming again is a big thing. And us making records that don't sound perfect is going to be a thing. So we can actually tell what's human and what's not.
Yeah.
I don't know. The world is wide open. There's going to be lanes for all of it, but it'll be really interesting to see what happens in the next year, 5 years, 10 years. It's going to change a lot.
I'm a bit like scared of the AI, but I just suppose we have to be open about it because it is what it is. And just, yeah, you reference the ethical element. So we just have to see and hope that people stick to those. But that's a discussion.
It is. I mean, an AI artist signed a $3 million record deal last week. And which is crazy. It blows my mind. I don't know. We'll see how it plays. We're not going to go backwards though. It's just like streaming. It's just like Napster, what it did to music in 2007. It's like what Spotify has done to music. This is the next thing. It's not going anywhere. We just have to figure out how to live in this new world and hopefully regulate it well. We'll see how that goes.
What do you enjoy about performing live?
I think that's my favorite part. I really enjoy writing music for people and seeing those songs played, but my favorite part is getting in front of people and singing my songs. That whole process I still love. There's things I really dislike, the logistics, being away from my family, all of those things, travel, all of those things that no one really loves. I think I could do away with at this point in my career, but being on stage is so good still that it makes up for that. And so I still really love the connection with people. I really love singing for people. And so still one of my favorite things that I get to do.
I'm that guy that is right in front. I take my cell phone out for one or two songs, one or two videos, and I put it away. Yeah. I notice these days, a lot of people are filming and tweeting and posting for a lot of time. You reference the connection. Do not feel that the cell phone takes away from that connection, or again, it's just where society is at the moment.
Both. It's both things. I think it does take away from the connection, but maybe not for like a generation younger than us. You know, I think there's a generation just younger than probably we are that grew up with a phone in their face, and this is natural to them. And so maybe they're connected as well as they can be. But this feels like a hindrance to me. You know, it gets in my way. So I can't speak on that for everybody. But I'm similar to you. Even when it all first started coming out, when we were touring like in the mid-2000s, I remember intentionally, because then you had to carry cameras or carry a video camera. You know, you had four different things to capture moments. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to live the moment I'm in. And so I've always kind of been a little bit like that. And when I have taken those videos, they just sit on my phone and I never see them again. You know what I mean? And so I try to do that, like take a photo to remember it by and then be a part of the experience. I think that's what the artist wants you to do. And hopefully, even if you've got your phone out, you're really locked in as well.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask this question today, tomorrow, or the next day, I know your answer will be different every time. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind.
Okay.
If you had to push play to five artists once you finish this conversation, just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, who would those artists be?
Top of mind, Led Zeppelin, John Mayer, John Bellion, let's say, ooh, Bruno Mars. Let's put a girl in there, Adele.
You've got the new album that's just come out, Roses, as you referenced. What else is coming up over the next couple of months?
Trying to support the record, getting out and touring, mainly in America. I'm trying to figure out, we're doing a lot of these international interviews, so I really, for 26, would love to figure out how to get to some of these places and come see some of y'all. Which would be really fun. I've never been to South Africa either, which would be, I'd have to bring the whole family. Just doing that and then continuing, still writing for a lot of people and doing different things in a lot of different genres, which is fun. From, you know, church music and country music to like dance, you know, club music, which is a whole thing. And so it's a really fun deal. But really just trying to enjoy life. I've got three kiddos and that are all in school and playing sports. And so I try to be present and active in their lives as much as I can. And yeah, and hopefully continue to make music and put it out and get to meet people like you all across the world. It's really fun.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you for having me wherever you are in the world. I hope as you listen to my new record called Roses, go check it out wherever you can, that you can take 36 minutes out of your day and that while you're listening to it, I want you to think about all of the moments in life, all of the beautiful, small, normal moments that are so precious. And I hope that you see them and you lean into them a little bit more. And then when you're done listening to the album, I hope that your day is a little bit better than when it started, because that's why I wrote the record, and hopefully it can connect with you on some way. You can keep up with me online on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok, any of those things at Stars Go Dim. And I would love to see you and meet you in person one day, wherever I am. So thank you all.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.